You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
This is on the back of the tragedy that happened in Western Australia just a few weeks ago, you know, where Rio Tinto destroyed a very ancient site that was very important to the people on whose land that they are mining. What is shocking to me is that just weeks later, in the middle of a Black Lives Matter movement that is dominating world discourse, in which many Indigenous people are drawing attention to the situation for Indigenous people in this country. On the back of this situation, we have yet another mining company being allowed to destroy sites on the land of the Gomeray people.
For those who may be listening who are not aware of exactly where this place is, can you describe to us where it is exactly that this mining project is taking place?
The lands of the Gomeray people exist in Queensland. This is a particular area that has long been of interest to different mining companies. So the reason it's sort of so important is this particular site is inhabited or has as part of, you know, the site some really important roots that warriors used to prepare their weapons. So when Gomeray warriors went out, they would prepare their weapons on a particular kind of stone in this site. And we have grooves that these warriors made in the site as part of this particular location that is now the subject of mining.
A lot of people don't understand, especially in, I would say, Western-centric cultures or other cultures that which are based on written evidence and historical recordings, well, different way of recording history, actually. When we say historical recordings, Indigenous people do have a way of recording their histories as well that's different from the Western-centric one. So if people from other cultures see these sites, they don't understand the meaning of these sites.
This is such a good point. That is such a good point. So, you know, for us, we think of these particular lands, for Westerners, that is, Westerners like myself.
Yeah.
We think of these lands as being located in the border region between Queensland and New South Wales, so places like Tamworth, Aberdeen, Musselbrook, Coonabarabran, Walgett. These are the lands of the Gomeray people, their traditional lands.
Yeah.
So we think of these places through these Western names. And obviously, this is not the way that the Gomeray people think of these lands. So, you know, imagine setting text. So I think it's very hard. You're correct in that many societies value the written word. They have a very, maybe, you know, kind of, in my case, Eurocentric idea of what is a place of heritage. But, you know, for Gomeray people, this particular area, the whole area is like a 50,000-year-old library.
And people wouldn't understand it. Myself, coming from Africa, I remember in some African countries, for instance, we have some sacred trees, or not even sacred. They're like parliaments for the locals, because that's where people gather to discuss communal issues, village issues. So in those cultures, those trees have a very strong connection to their lawmaking, to their history, to their culture. But if an outsider steps in, these sites don't have any meaning. And whereas they're extremely significant for the locals. And I believe this is something that's happening in these Aboriginal sites.
You know, I love the parallel that you've drawn there, because, you know, it's really Europeans that make this, like, fake artificial division between the built environment and the landscape.
Yeah.
You know, that's not normal. For many, many cultures, natural environment, what Europeans call natural environments, areas that trees, for example, rock shelters, for example, mountains, for example, these are deeply sacred intellectual places and political places. So, for example, those trees you mentioned, imagine destroying, you know, those trees. That's like knocking down Parliament House in Canberra.
Yeah, and this has been authorized, and people in the media have been talking about, oh, this is a Chinese investment, and this has it even got anything to do with Chinese investment, or it's...
Look, it has nothing to do with Chinese investment. There is more American investment in Australia and British investment than there is Chinese. The issue is not Chinese investment or Chinese mining. In this case, the issue is inadequate protection of these sites from the Australian government. So it angers me when the Australian government shifts the focus onto to China and they play with people's fears about China, because in this case, it is the failure of the Australian government. They should be stepping in to protect these sites.
So I believe it's something to do with that legislation. What should be done now on the legislative side and policy level? Because this is more than just academics and activists talking about the calamity that's happening on a cultural side.
It's a really good question. And I think, you know, there's two answers, you know, to this question. You know, in terms of the legal side, so we need to strengthen the National Parks and Wildlife Act of 1974. We need to strengthen this act at a federal and state level, okay? So we need to find a way in which it's harder for local governments to override environmental law and the laws of national parks. At the moment, development trumps protection when it comes to these heritage sites. That's because the issue of jobs is so front and centre for many Australians. So many Australians associate mining with job creation. Now, that's just simply not the case. We know that many of these mining companies, they come in, they don't create long-term jobs, they do more damage in the community than they do in terms of protecting and building that community. They might provide some kind of short-term employment, but they don't actually provide a long-term benefit and investment in the community. So I think this is two questions. One is strengthening our National Parks and Wildlife Acts at a, you know, state and federal level. That's the legal side. Now, the political side is, you know, really on the part of leaders to not, you know, sort of mislead voters and tell them that, you know, mining necessarily leads to job creation, because we have data that shows that simply isn't the case in the long term.
Yeah, because mining companies usually, what the broader community doesn't see, and that happens very often, is mining companies might be using FIFO workers, fly-in, fly-out workers, and what we've witnessed in many cases is the intensive job creation is during the setting up phase, but once that process is over, then it's less labor intensive, it's more extraction and more
totally. And that often leads to the pollution of, you know, groundwater. It often leads to really expensive housing prices for locals. So, as you know, fly out workers move in, the price of housing skyrockets in the area, which passes locals out. And you know, very rarely are mining companies held to account. You know, they are meant to invest in the community, they're meant to invest in schools. They're meant to invest in roads. Very, very rarely does the government provide any kind of oversight to hold these companies to account. And yet, the media, but also, you know, the coalition government, argues that the way to job creation in regional Australia is through mining. And the sad thing is, unfortunately, it simply isn't the case in the long term. And I really think if you look at the economic effect of mining on a lot of regional communities, in the long term, the costs are higher than the benefits.
Yeah, especially if it goes with also this destructive cultural vandalism, some would call it, and some are calling it cultural and historical vandalism.
I think that these conversations are a form, you know, of activism, because, you know, we really need to help ourselves as a society understand the riches, the cultural riches at our fingertips. So we need to think outside of the colonial mindset, which only values the built environment and only values the paper document. And we need to see the huge potential in the kind of cultural riches around us in our landscape. So that is, you know, white people need to educate themselves, okay? And Australians need to educate themselves on the value of these particular artifacts that are literally hewn into the land around us, because we can learn from them. We can learn a lot about how communities survived in difficult environmental conditions. We can learn a lot about how political ideas can be put to force for good. And we can learn a lot about how this land is an ancient, ancient land that, you know, can feed into our identity and pride as a community. And we can then teach our young people to have that same value. I'm not Indigenous myself, but I feel it's my job to educate myself to understand the value of this particular 50,000-year-old library that we have around us in terms of Indigenous artifacts and Indigenous landmarks across the land. My job is to allow the voices of people like the Gomeray people to be spoken in a kind of louder way, to be amplified. And, you know, in that way, I think we'll begin to value the incredible riches around us.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.